We're made to be courageous. Do you believe that? You were created that way. I mean, we're made to be courageous. Lord, make us courageous. And that really is my prayer for every one of us today, that we would let God make us courageous the way that He designed us and created us to be. Now, we're continuing our series, I'm Still Standing. And we've talked about standing out and standing up as Christ followers, that there are times that we're called to be different. In other words, we've been set apart as Christians, and we're to stand out from the crowd. And we talked about standing up for the right things, the God-honoring things, that we're to stand up sometimes in order to help someone that's maybe on a destructive path, to help get them back on the right path. And that if you stand in the right way, at the right times, for the right reasons, it can have tremendous impact and influence in someone else's life. And then last week we talked about standing strong, that when God calls you to something or raises you up, that there is always somebody waiting to tear you down that's going to be a negative influence in your life, and that when we face the opposition in life, when we face those pressures, those trials, then kneeling in prayer before God is what will give you the strength to stand strong in your life. And so today, what I want to talk about is standing in faith. Here's what I know. I know some of you have been standing strong. You've been praying. You've been believing. You've been trusting God. But the fact is, you haven't seen any results at this point. And so what's happening, you're battling. You're facing that opposition, that struggle, that trial. You're waiting to get that kind of breakthrough in your life, or waiting for a miracle, maybe waiting for a child or someone that you love. You've been praying that they would come to faith and that they would accept Christ as their Savior. Some of you have been praying about the depression that you're dealing with. Some of you have been praying about a financial or relational breakthrough in your life. Maybe you've been praying for your marriage, for physical healing. Some of you have been praying a long, long time, and you haven't seen any results. And so what's happening inside, you start doubting. You get discouraged in your life. And if that's where you are today, I want you to listen up, because I believe God's got something very significant to say to you today. Now, I'm going to kind of go through our story a little bit. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem. He takes Daniel back with him and takes a lot of other prisoners back with him to Babylon. And so they are prisoners of war. They're slaves. They're being indoctrinated into the Babylonian culture and being trained to think like the Babylonians and act like the Babylonians. And the Jewish people have now been in bondage for a long time. In fact, there are many that do not remember anything but being slaves in Babylon. And so they have been praying and they've been hoping that someday they could return to their homeland, that they could go back to Jerusalem. Daniel has now, for decades, he has been faithfully and obediently following God. He's been standing strong in his faith. He's trusting God, believing God for things. And he's experiencing miracles in his life. God's working through him. And so things start changing. And last week we saw that with King Darius. He decrees that the God of Daniel is the one true God. And so you've got this major shift happening in culture. Well, now King Cyrus takes over. He conquers the Babylonians. And now things are really looking like maybe they'll get the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. So that's kind of the setting. So everything just keeps moving that direction. They think they're going to get to go back to Jerusalem. And then Daniel, now he's in his mid-80s, somewhere around there at this point. Daniel has this vision. And Daniel, in this vision, sees war. He sees more hardships coming. And in fact, this vision is so disturbing to Daniel that it kind of undoes him inside. You know, if you read the conversation, it's like, God, I've been following you all these decades, and I've been trusting, and I've been believing, and I've been hoping that we would get to go back to Jerusalem. But now, I have this vision, and there's going to be more war, and we're going to have an even harder time in our lives. And so he hits this point, and he's like, I can't take it anymore. And so what's Daniel do? Well, he does what he always has done. Daniel prays. Daniel seeks God. And for 21 days, he fasts. And at the end of that 21 days, Daniel has another vision. This time, this angelic being comes down. And he says this. He says, I looked up, and there was before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like a flaming torch, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. So he has this very strange vision. Most scholars believe that he saw the incarnate Christ. And by that, I'm talking about Jesus has always been. We know that God was there at the foundation of the world, that God is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know from the Gospel of John that Jesus was there when the world was created. All right? In the New Testament, Jesus comes in bodily form as, remember, a baby in a manger. He comes to the earth for the first time. But he's always existed. So this is the pre-incarnate. Before he came to the earth as a human, Jesus was there. Many believe that that scripture is about that. It goes on and says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deadly pale, and I was helpless. So we got Daniel. Daniel is the only one that has this vision. Now, why is he the only one that saw it? We don't know. We don't know. I mean, I wonder if maybe the other people, they really weren't looking for God to be speaking, and so they missed it. Maybe they weren't open to it. Maybe the vision was only meant for Daniel to see it. We really don't know. But what we know is that something happened in that moment, and people could sense it. They knew something was happening. I'm going to guess they saw Daniel bowing, and they're like, uh-oh, what's going on here? And so they run away in terror. If you've been a follower of Jesus Christ very long, some of you have had God reveal something to you in a real and powerful way. You know, where God speaks to you, maybe you're reading through scripture. Have you ever had that where you read a scripture and you're like, wow, you know, it just hits you? Or, you know, maybe in a message or in a song, it's something you've heard before. Maybe you've heard it many times, but for whatever reason, in that moment, it strikes a chord where you are. Your heart's open to God, and so God gave you some insight into something, and it was truly life-changing. You know, it spoke to you in this new and powerful way. And so you're excited about it, and so you share it with your spouse or maybe a friend. Maybe you're at work at lunch, and you go, you know, I was reading this, and so it just spoke to me. It's amazing, and you share it. And you go, can't you see it? You know, don't you get what's happening? And they're like, yeah, I don't see it. I don't get it, and they're definitely not excited about what you're excited about. You ever had that experience? Yeah. And in fact, for some of you, it'll happen today. You will sense something, whether it's through the music or a prayer or a conversation, something that I share today, and you'll sense God's presence. Something will speak to you in a profound way. And so afterwards, you'll be walking away, and you're like, man, wasn't that awesome? And they're like, yeah, I guess the coffee's okay. I don't know. It's, you know, not on the same plane with you. That's what happened with Daniel. Daniel, something amazing happens. Nobody else sees it. Nobody else gets it. Daniel, he's in the presence of God. Daniel is in the presence of God, and all of his strength leaves him. And so he kind of goes pale, and he's helpless at this point. It says, then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell in a deep sleep, my face to the ground. Now, that deep sleep, some of your translations say I went into a trance. It's got the idea of being overtaken at that point, where I no longer just function on my own. This has grasped me to my heart and soul. And so Daniel is there. Jesus speaks, and Daniel can no longer stand up. He's overcome. He falls on the ground with his face to the ground. And I think that's what happens in the presence of God. I don't care how strong you are. There is a point in your life where all you can do is you're driven to your knees. I mean, some of you have had that experience in your life where something was going on and you're in God's presence and you realize your sinfulness and, you know, you maybe experienced God's grace or mercy, you know, and in that moment you're driven to your knees. Maybe in the presence of God you experienced an assurance that it's going to be okay or comfort. Or often in God's presence I realize how small I am and how big God is. You know, in God's presence, you cannot stand. And you won't stand. You fall on your knees. You allow God to have your full attention. And in the presence of God, you realize you're nothing. You realize you'd have nothing. In fact, you realize God's everything. You ever had a moment like that? Friends, when you're able to stand back up after a moment like that, you're changed. Some of you can point to the day and the time. My life was changed because God spoke to me, not audibly, but through an experience, and you realize, and you live different because of it. You are transformed in the presence of God. And so what I want to talk about is, how do you stand in your faith when you can't see a way? You know, when you can't see how you're going to possibly make it through, where you stand strong and you keep moving forward, trusting God, even though you don't see any progress in your life. I think the story of Daniel, this part of it, there's things we can all learn that'll help us stand strong. And here's some things you need to remember, and this is the first one. God cares more about you than you care about yourself. Do you ever think about that? God cares more about you than you care about yourself. See, that helps you stand strong. Daniel 10:10, it says, just then a hand touched me, and what? Lifted me. Still trembling to my hands and my knees. From sinking sand, he lifted me. The only way you stand, I believe, and stand strong in your faith and in life is on your knees before God. Lord, make us courageous. Make us courageous. You know, God does the lifting in this. And he lifts Daniel up. And so now he's on his hands and knees. And the fact is, some of you today, God is reaching out and wants to touch you. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to lift you up. He wants to lift you up in the situation that you're struggling with. Scripture, it says, and the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. I got stuck here this week. I just kept coming back to Daniel, you are very precious to God. And in fact, I know some of you need to hear that this morning. You are very precious to God. You are valuable. You are important. God's got a plan for you. God loves you. God cares about what's going on in your life. That thing that you're struggling with, that thing that you've been praying for, God wants you to know He cares. He cares what's happening in your life. I mean, more than you can imagine, more than you could ever, ever begin to understand. Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I'll say to you. What? What's the next two words? Stand up. Stand up. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Friends, if you're going to stand in your faith, you have to remember, especially during those tough times, especially when you don't see anything changing, that God cares about you more than you care about yourself. And God understands more about what's happening than you could ever begin to understand. And here's the thing that really helps. God is doing more. Right now, God is doing more for that situation than you will ever begin to understand in your life. See, God's working. God's always working in our lives. But sometimes we just don't see it. We just don't see it. Then he said to me, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayers." Think about that. From the first day, it says, from the moment that Daniel prayed, the first time that the words come out of his mouth, God heard the prayer. And some of you have been praying and praying and praying for a long time. And you've been praying about stuff and you're wondering, you know, is it really worth it? I've been praying a long time about this. Is this worth it? I've been praying and I've been listening, God, and looking, and it doesn't look like you're doing anything. In fact, you'll get that voice in your head. The evil one loves to get in our head and be like, why bother? If God really cared, he would have done something by now. God's not going to do anything. And some of you feel like that. And I want you to listen very, very carefully. The first time you prayed, the first time those words rolled off your tongue, God heard your prayer. And he heard the cry, and he's fully aware of what's going on in your life. You know, that first time you prayed for healing, God heard. First time you prayed for your child or your grandchild, God heard it. You know, that first time you prayed for a miracle, God heard it. Keep praying and keep believing and keep trusting, because the first time you prayed, God was there and listened to it and heard it. And I know some of you, you're thinking the scriptures are a little weird this morning, yes? Well, it's going to get weirder. Scripture says this, "But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." Now, this is my rendition. "Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me kick butt here. And he left me to go to the spirit prince of the... He left me there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." It's a very strange story. I mean, who's the spirit prince? Don't know. Don't know. I mean, most scholars believe that it was a spiritual warfare going on, that they were demonic forces that were being fought against. And you got to remember that Satan and a third of the angels had been tossed out of heaven. And the fact is, there's been a spiritual war going on in this world ever since then. You know, Paul talked about it in Ephesians 6. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against spiritual forces. This world, there's more than the physical realm. There's a spiritual realm. And so we've got this battle going on, this battle with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, whoever that is. And the archangel Michael, he comes to help. And so this battle's going on. And then Jesus goes, hey, I got to go take care of some things. And he leaves him. Now, it's kind of strange. And so why would Jesus leave? Well, he's going to go to Daniel. And he's going to answer Daniel's prayer. And so this is an amazing thing. I want you to visually try and picture it. This is a tough one to picture, but the fact is Daniel's been praying for decades. He's been praying ever since he was a prisoner, first taken, a young teenager, been praying that they could go back to his homeland, that he could go back to Jerusalem. And then we've got this instance now, all these decades later, and he has this vision. And he sees more hardship coming, and he sees war coming. And so he fasts, and he prays, and he gets real specific about it. And still, he's not seeing anything happening, but he's praying, and he's trusting, and he's believing, and nothing's going on. And friends, just because you can't see something doesn't mean God's not doing something. You know, just because you don't see any movement in that situation you've been praying for doesn't mean that God's not doing something. Just because it hasn't changed yet doesn't mean that it's not going to change. From the first time you prayed, God heard your prayers. In fact, God may have already released his angels to fight a war for you. It's hard to get your mind around it. But in a way, you got to trust. You got to keep praying. You got to keep believing in that moment, because you have no idea whatsoever what God's doing. In fact, I would argue God's doing more than you can see and more than you can understand. When I end up in that trench and I feel overwhelmed, I just always remind myself that the kingdom of light, God's kingdom, will overcome the kingdom of darkness. It will. We win in the end. Daniel can't see anything, but there's this war going on in a spiritual realm that he can't see. And because Daniel kept praying, and because God heard Daniel's prayer the first time he prayed it, God started working. I think I've shared this before, but when I first got in ministry, I just graduated from college, and I hadn't been at the church very long, but things were cooking, you know. We were growing as a church, and we were reaching people for Jesus Christ. And I was so excited. I was like 22 years old. I mean, I was excited. Church leadership, they were not excited like I was. And in fact, it got where after services on a regular basis, I would have top leadership come to me and go, "We do not need people like this in our church." And two particular, they didn't like the one family that was coming because they were black, and they didn't like the young couple that I had teaching. And so they would come to me and they'd make it known. They'd go, "We don't like these people." You know, their issue with the family that was coming that I had invited, I mean, it's just racism. Let's call it what it is. And the young couple that were teaching, it wasn't a theological issue. It wasn't a lifestyle issue. The fact is, they didn't like the husband because he had an earring and he had some tattoos. And so I remember one conversation with one of my leaders after service. He goes, "You're not listening to us. You need to tell them they're not welcome here." And he was talking about the young couple. He goes, we do not want them teaching here. And I was like, okay, help me understand this. They're great Christians. Yep. They're gifted teachers. We're fortunate to have them. And this is no joke, right in church. I mean, I heard words you're not supposed to hear anywhere, let alone at church. And he just cut loose and then turned around and stormed away. And as I think back on it, I think I knew that this wasn't going to end well. But I remember going home and praying and just saying, God, what do I do here? You know, and I just kind of pouring myself out. And then I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I mean, if this really goes south, what am I going to do? Here's what I was clear on. I was clear that what they were asking me to do wasn't right or godly. And I was very clear that I would stand up, that I wasn't going to cave. Inside, I was a wreck. Next day, I get a call. That leader said, board wants to meet with you tomorrow night. And so I remember I didn't sleep much. I remember praying, just saying, God, you're going to have to help me. I don't know how I'm going to navigate this and get through it. Went to the meeting. We didn't pray before the meeting. We hardly got sat down. And basically, that leader that had blown up in church, he gives me an ultimatum. He says, we want you to ask that young couple to quit teaching. We'd prefer they find another church. And that family that you invited, tell them they're not welcome here and they can find another church too. It was a moment of truth. And I said, I won't do that. And I remember this. I can close my eyes, almost relive it. He said, we pay you. You will do what we tell you to do. And I remember taking a big breath. I think inside I was pretty much undone. I said, you don't pay me anymore. And you'll have my resignation in the morning. And I walked away from there very broken, very disillusioned. And inside, I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? I mean, I don't have a ministry, I don't have a job, I don't have a home. It's all gone, you know. I'd been praying about it. I'll be honest, I was mad at God at a point. It was like, God, I've been praying, I've been asking, I've been being faithful and obedient. And really, this is where I end up? What am I going to do? And so I felt a little bit of anger that way. Next morning, I got up, and this is back before I'm typing a typewriter. Typed my letter of resignation. And I put it in an envelope, and I'm going to walk it over to that leader's house. And so I started walking. And I do not know why, but I stopped by the post office on my way to pick up my mail. There was one letter in there. And I pulled it out. It's from the post office. And I opened the letter, and it was a job offer. I had taken the exam years before that, and apparently they had carried the exam over a couple years. And so it had been quite a while. And it was offering me a job. And so I'm kind of reading it like, really? So I go back home, dial the number that's on there, ask to talk to the person that it said to talk to. And so I'm like, is this really an actual job offer? And the person on the other end, and there are two key things. The person on the other end immediately says, are you Damon Talkington that used to teach out at the Christian camp? My son went to Lake Springfield Christian Assembly, and you made a difference in his life. That was the first thing. And so I asked a couple of questions. They said, well, I can guarantee you, you are the next hire because your test scores say you're the next hire. If you can pass a physical examination, the job's yours. Two things I needed to hear that day. Friends, I went home and I call, I get that information, then I rewrite my resignation letter. Now, I'm not proud of this part. I don't know, maybe a little. Yeah, I wrote it with an edge. All right, here's my point. Don't get lost on that part of it. All those days that I was praying and asking God to work and do something, and the fact is God had already started working because it was already in the mail. See, it's already in motion. But I was looking around. I didn't see any of that. You know, the fact is, God would use that time when I went to the post office. He would use that to grow me and change me and prepare me for something much, much greater. And I don't have time to go into all that today. It didn't go the way I would have had it gone. You know, we would have had lots of smoke and brimstone and things like that if I'd have had my way. But God did something more significant, and God was moving. And just because I couldn't see it, didn't mean it wasn't happening. Friends, whatever it is that you're praying about, keep praying and you keep believing and you keep trusting, because God cares about you, and God cares about you more than you even can begin to understand, and God is doing more than you'll ever understand. You may not see it today, but God's doing more. And friends, we get strength and we are made perfect in our weaknesses in life. You know, the Apostle Paul says that over and over throughout Scripture. He asks God, he says, take this thorn in the flesh from me. We don't know what the thorn was. We don't know what the struggle was. But he asked over and over and over again for God to take it. And God didn't take it, but God gave him an answer. He said to me, my grace is sufficient enough for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect or made strong in you. I remember in college, I played basketball a lot, and we'd go to practices and stuff, and then I'd go over to the gym by myself sometimes. And I headed over to the gym. Well, it was closed when I got there. They were cleaning it. It had a sign, you know, half hour, they'd be done. And so I was like, okay. So I wandered around, and I wandered into the weight room. And one of the guys that I knew really well, Pierre, was working out. Now, here's what you need to know about Pierre. We called him the Hulk. And in fact, we painted him green one year, and he went down to the city square, and we shot video and showed it to the school and did our own kind of Hulk episode. But he's working out, and I mean, he's working out with a massive amount of weight. And so I'm walked over, and I'm watching him, and like, wow. That's a lot of weight, you know, and he's just pumping away. And he goes, you wanting to lift? And I go, yeah, I'm not a weightlifter. Like, I needed to tell him that. If you'd have saw me, he'd be like, yeah, you're right, you're not a weightlifter. But he goes, oh, come on, you can lift. And like, oh, man, I've never done this. And he's like, come on. And so he finally talks me into it. And so I'm like, you're going to have to take a little weight off that, you know. And so he peels off, seriously, more than half of it. He goes, this good? And I'm like, you know, hey, I'm in college at that point. Yeah, that's fine. I'll start with that, you know. And so I get on the bench. He's spotting for me. And so he's got the weight, and he lowers it down to me. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got this. And so I get it, and I'm like, I mean, I am straining for everything in me, but I get it up there. And I'm like, are you helping me? No, I'm just spotting for you. And so I do a couple more reps, and I'm like, you're helping me, because he's staying right with the bar, you know, with me. So I'm feeling kind of bold. I'm feeling kind of good. I said, I think you could put some more weight on there. He goes, are you sure? And I go, yeah, don't put a lot, but put some more weight on there. He goes like, I don't think we better put any more. Why? Do one more at this weight. All right. So he brings it down to me, and then he starts releasing his grip on it. I thought it was going to crush me. I couldn't even budge it off my chest. See, it was not me. In fact, it was very little me. I absolutely did not have the strength. I was weak. Pierre was strong. He was really strong. Friends, there will come times in life where you will hit a point in your faith. Some of you are there today. And you will realize that you are weak. That you absolutely do not have the strength to do what you need to do. And friends, when you are at your weakest, and this is what you need to hear, when you come to that point where you go, I prayed and I'm exhausted, I do not have any more faith, there's nothing else in me. When you get to that point, friends, you are strong at that point. Because the power of God will become more real in your life when you can't do it yourself and you know it. And there will come a point where you just need to acknowledge, I am weak. You want to experience the strength of God? Admit you're weak. Admit you're weak. Friends, when I'm weak, when I'm at my lowest, when there is nothing left in me, I will tell you over and over again in life, God is strong in that moment. And that's where Daniel is. You know, listen to what Daniel says to Jesus, or this angelic being, whichever it is. He goes, how can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Daniel's hit his lowest point. He's depleted. I think he's exhausted, and he's overwhelmed. And friends, some of you, that's where you are today. Your strength's gone. You are worn out. You are tired and exhausted. You're trying to hang on to your marriage and it's not working for you. And you're trying to hang on for the kids. You know, some of you are at wit's end right now. You know, financially, things are spinning out in your life. Some of you, the fact is, you've been praying and praying and praying, and you'd say today, you know what, I'm exhausted, and my strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe today. Scripture says, then the one who looked like a man, Jesus probably, touched me again, and I felt my strength return. Jesus touches Daniel and his strength returns. Some of you need Jesus to touch you more than anything. You need just that touch and strength is restored. Faith is strengthened in that touch. Some of you are believing in God, but there's a piece of you that you're ready to give up. And I want to tell you, one touch from God can keep you going. One touch from God can keep you believing and trusting, but you gotta be willing to reach and say, here I am, God. I have no strength. I'm exhausted. I see no way out. And one touch from God. And Daniel says, I felt my strength return. Everything changes when God touches you. Everything changes in that moment, in that instance. You know, Jesus says to Daniel, don't be afraid. For you are very precious. See, we go, here we go again. You're very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. What? Be strong. Some of you need that, to hear that today. God's saying, peace, be encouraged, be strong. You can keep standing in your faith. If you remember that the first time you prayed, whatever that was, God heard your prayer. And it's very possible God's already released angelical beings to take on, to change that future, to change that thing. And I'll be honest with you. There are times you pray about something, and God may do what you ask. And there are times God will not do what you ask. He'll do something different. But here's what I want you to hold on to today. Just because you do not see God doing something does not mean God's not doing something. You stand in faith. You keep praying. You keep trusting. And you keep believing, because God's not finished. God's not finished. Two things to prepare us for communion. One, if you've got something you've been praying about and God, you've been waiting for God to answer, I want you to stand up where you're at. I'm going to pray for you and pray for that situation. You know, just the fact you take a stand before God says, okay, God. Some of you would say, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I've been waiting a long time. Maybe it hasn't been a long time, but it feels like it. We're going to give that stuff to God. See, when you are weak and willing to admit it, God can then be strong. And let's pray. If you're anybody near you, if you just you feel like it, just pray for them. God, we just we see those that are standing this morning. God, I pray your Spirit would just pour out, that they'd be strengthened in their faith, that they would find courage, peace. God, there are some maybe been praying for decades about something. God, I pray you just strengthen them, that they would realize you have heard them from day one. And God, we lay this stuff before you. And God, I know that in many of these situations, you are already working. You may have been working for a long time. God, I pray that you would just strengthen our faith, that we'd keep believing, keep trusting, that we'd be obedient, that we would just seek to please you. God, I know there are some here today, maybe your Holy Spirit just needs to touch them and let them know that you are working. Give them a glimpse of what you're doing. God, I just thank you for your faithfulness. And God, I know that when all the dust settles in this world, when it's all over, we win. We win. God, help us to hold on to that. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. And God's people said, you may be seated. We're going to celebrate in communion. You are, everyone's welcome here. We're doing communion by intinction, which means you can take one of the wafers, leave it whole or break it, dip it into the chalice, and this represents what Christ did for all of us. Again, we were weak. We couldn't save ourselves, but God did through his Son Jesus Christ, and that we celebrate. Let's bow in prayer. God, I pray that as we remember that great love that took you to the cross, God, that we would just lay our sins before you, that we would celebrate that forgiveness that we experienced day one when we said, I want you as my Lord and Savior. God, bless this cup, blood that was spilled for us. Bless this wafer that represents your body that was broken. God, we thank you for that love. We thank you for that grace. We thank you that we can come before your throne, that you hear every prayer, every word. God, we thank you we can have a relationship with you because of what your Son did. God, may we never take it for granted. Be with us as we celebrate this morning. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Ushers will dismiss and come celebrate this morning.